Joining me in the Catalyst studio is Dr. Nicolas Sabouret, who is flown in from the University of Paris-Saclay. Did I do okay?
No, that's okay.
Welcome. So you're in town for the Conference on World Affairs. They're having their first event outside of their normal conference, a mini conference, which will be at Johns Hopkins, which includes you and a panel, and you're here to talk about artificial intelligence.
Yes, that's it.
So your biography says that you specialize in putting, amongst other things, you're able to put artificial intelligence into layman's terms, understandable terms. So when people ask you about artificial intelligence, what's the first thing you want to communicate to them?
So the first thing I want to say to people when I speak about what is artificial intelligence is to make sure they understand that artificial intelligence is not about making machine be intelligent. What machine do is computation, which is, well, something they can do very good and such they can achieve very smart things, but they're not intelligent. They're using a different sort of approach to problem solving. So artificial intelligence can be defined, has been defined by researchers in the world as the science that makes machine do things by computation that human beings do with their intelligence. But it's not about having machine be intelligent.
Right. And so it's essentially just a stacking of human intelligence in algorithmic form, but because of that, it's limited to that.
Okay. It's actually there are different approaches to programming artificial intelligence systems, but it's true that a lot of it involves not necessarily stacking, but yes, entering into the computational system different sorts of human intelligence, of human expert knowledge, of expertise or data collection that has been collected by humans for the machine to achieve the goal. It's been fixed.
So one interesting experiment in a gentleman named Adam Robinson, I heard talk about it. And he said that when they programmed computers to play chess, that they became very good human players. And because of their computing power, surpassed human players, but in a human way. And then they tried an experiment where they took away all the presuppositions, only told the computer the rules of chess with no strategy at all, and let it run iterations billions of times. And he called it alien chess because they came up with completely new lines of learning that made no sense to humans, you know, exposing the king very early, and yet they won with this as well. So it's almost like there were alternate parallel lines of reason that we're able to develop.
I think this chess thing is a very good example because chess is a very complex problem to solve. Just to give you an idea, there are 10 to the power 120 possible games, so which is way more than the number of atoms you have in the whole universe. So if you want to enumerate all these games, well, you're not finished. And that's why it is interesting to see that when we use machine approach to playing chess, you might discover paths or types of games that you would not have thought a priori. Still, it does not mean that machine created something new. It's just that it has applied the rules and just explored the very wide space of possible games in such a way that no human being could do it, so as to find these new types of games that we were not able to find ourselves.
So when you say it's not something new, what is your definition of new? What would have to be the components of it to classify it as new by your definition?
What I mean is that they did not invent a process. They just discovered a solution. So of course, the solution they obtained is new. No one has ever thought playing that way. But the way they did it was not original. It's just, brute-forced computation to test all the possible games and statistically remove the games that are not efficient so as to find the most statistical, the best games to play.
On the trajectory that advancements in artificial intelligence are on now, are we leading to this inevitable ability to create the new? Or do you still see that as very far off and conceptual?
I think it's very far off for now. What we do very well is use different sorts of AI techniques to solve different sorts of problems. And when we clearly understand a problem, we can write the right algorithm and make the machine surpass us in many domains. So I'm not surprised by the fact that machines surpass us at Go, at chess, at driving cars, at face recognition or whatever. So, well, that's what they've been designed for. But I do not foresee a future, near future, where a machine would be creating new things out of nothing.
When people have their fear of artificial intelligence, Do you think that fear is more rooted in this conceptual new, or is there a legitimate fear about even the path we're on now?
I think both are true. I mean, we all look at science fiction movies or read science fiction books. So of course, we have this idea that machine could take over and suddenly decide that, well, the human race is no longer needed on the planet Earth. Well, that's what's fun in the science fiction, actually, to imagine the possibilities that it creates. But the legitimate fear that people have about losing their jobs or being replaced by the machine is, I mean, it has already happened in the history. It's a history of man. We invent machines that do things better than us. And after some time, we realize that we could replace people by those machines and people lose their jobs. And, well, new jobs are created too. So that's an evolution. Of course, it's never pleasant when you're one of the victims of this evolution. But I mean, that's a history of human life.
That's a fear of replacement, but that replacement is still ultimately controlled by humans, whereas I think the general fear is where humans might lose control.
Yeah. I mean, we won't lose control in the sense that machines only do what they've been programmed for. Mm. Even when they do machine learning or very complex things that we can't explain afterward, they were still programmed doing this. So we program machines to, let's say, play chess, as you say,
right,
better than us, so that we remove all human chess players because it's no longer interesting to see a human player playing chess.
Right.
But it won't do anything else than what we've done. I mean, it's not the machine who is going to say, hey, get rid of human players. We don't need them anymore.
And you talked about science fiction, and obviously artificial intelligence has been in the imagination, at least for many years. How does its place in popular culture play against, you know, you as a serious academic looking at the real implications of it and the real problems of it? How much does the way it sits in popular culture now make your job more difficult?
I mean, the popular culture is very attached to this idea that we see in movies or SF books that, well, machine could be self-conscious and at some point decide to take over. And again, that's what we are trying to explain as scientists, that we are not at that point. And we're probably not seeing the very beginning of something that could someday turn into self-consciousness for machines. So right now, there is nothing to fear about this. And that's what we try to fight against. But that's our fault, too, because we gave this stupid name, artificial intelligence, to it. And artificial intelligence, as I said, is not about being intelligent.
Right. So it's a branding problem a little bit.
Yes. But we do it again and again. We call this machine learning. And machine learning is not about machine learning. It's about machine doing things that is computation in a way that is inspired by human learning, but it's not learning.
It could be called better algorithms than we used to have.
It could be called, I mean, people use the word training. They say we train the algorithms on examples. And I think that definition is a bit more correct than learning. I mean, in learning, we put a lot of similarities to what we do at school with pupils, but it's very different. I mean, pupils do learn at school, while machines don't learn. They just train on examples and extract the probabilistic results so as to find the best answer to the question that was asked them.
As you observe the landscape of what is possible with artificial intelligence, which specific areas are you most excited about seeing what it can do?
I think there are many, many possibilities. So it's, I mean, any answer I would give will frustrate other researchers that are passionate by their topic. So it's a tough question. But one area that I'm very interested in is the fact that machine adopts more human-like behavior and can understand and in return express emotions or personality or social attitudes. That's something that I believe has a strong future because for now, we still have machines that interact with us in a very robotic way, and we need them to better understand us.
Wonderful. And I know the conference built this event around you because you weren't able to come in February. So it's a real honor. You know, many thanks to them for doing that and to continue to put out this great content. And it's an honor to have you in town, and we'll look forward to the great information you share.
Thank you.
Thank you.